When it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Hey, and welcome to the RuPaul's Drag Race podcast. I am not your host, Mike Bloom. He is gone for another week on vacation, but I am here to talk about everything orange on RuPaul's Drag Race. And I have to say, when there's that much orange on the runway, even my eyes started to hurt. Liana Boris, do you agree with me?
Yeah!
Who's next?
Woohoo!
Yeah! That's my best Joel McHale impression. You're welcome. Yeah. I'll be here all episode.
I appreciate that. And also, we do not have the rock star back this week, but we have our own rock star back this week. Ooh. It's the original host of the RuPaul's Drag Race podcast with me and Mike Bloom, Ali Lasher, everybody.
Opulence. Sorry, I know that was last week, but my God, I was loving it. I'm so happy to be back. Merle is back to guest judge this week. I'm so happy.
I am so happy as well. By the way, I think I mentioned this last week. I don't know how she didn't have a record ready. How did she not have a record ready of opulence? You earn everything.
There's an amazing fan made video that someone sent me that is so funny.
I mean, I'm kind of stunned about it. Maybe she didn't realize how big it was going to be. And I guess Vanjie, of course, the Vanjie thing happened throughout the season, so she had a little bit of an inkling that was going to be a thing because they kept doing it all season. So by the end, when they got back with Vanjie, they're like, "Oh, girl, we were talking about you all season." But of course, that must have been surprising to Vanjie. This one, I haven't heard anybody refer to opulence, but maybe they feel like they're making fun of her by saying it that way. I don't know, but I hope she's laughing with us because we love Mercedes. I don't love her as a queen on RuPaul's Drag Race, but I do love Mercedes. So, Ali, and by the way, I remember I used to do this, and I'm sure I'm going to do this during this podcast, that when I have Ali and Liana on the podcast together, I always mix up their names because there is a syllable in both their names that sound the same. And so I always refer to one when I'm referring to the other, but I am referring to you, Ali Lasher. We haven't talked to you in a while. This is your first episode of season 11 with us. What are you feeling about this season? How are you liking the queens?
I love the season. I'm an easy judge of reality TV. I'm just happy to have it. We're still in sort of like the obvious boot, you know, trimming the fat, getting to know the queens, but I'm really looking forward to the later half of the season. Like, I think we're going to get some strong contenders at the end of this, and I'm liking every episode.
First of all, I just want to say, where is Soju's single called Ayo Cyst? So we're going to do the ambulance just to go back for a brief second. But I totally co-sign with Ali. I mean, I think that this is a situation where you see people like Raja, who I was not surprised was in the bottom two this week, who I think is probably not long, maybe Ariel Versace also, considering we're seeing a lot of repetition from her. So it sort of does still feel in those early stages of getting to know everybody, losing some of the queens that, you know, are a little bit maybe lower on the totem pole, but it's still been a lot of fun so far.
I also feel like it's my like Vanjie redemption as well as Vanjie's redemption, because I don't remember if I like drafted Vanjie somewhere or what, but during her first actual episode when I was watching with people, I was like, this girl's a star, like, oh, Vanjie's yeah. got it. I don't know if she was my winner pick or if I was just like through the episode. And then she like flamed out so horribly, and everybody at the like and where I was just like, wow, Ali, really? Like Vanjie, wow. And now she's back killing it. So I feel like I've gotten a little redemption too. How to make it about me.
Yeah. And I thought like RuPaul later in this episode really said what we're all thinking, which is that no matter what Vanjie is doing, she is so funny just by being herself. Reminds me of Alyssa Edwards. I was really taken with that comparison, Ali.
Yeah, I thought that was spot on, especially for someone like me who like didn't really come into appreciating Alyssa Edwards until later on. Yeah. I think that is a fair comparison. I think there are definite differences, but the general like star quality comedy is there.
Yeah, and I think it's when Vanjie is doing Vanjie, and that's why she had such a hard time in this challenge when she was asked to embody someone else. Because even in the acting challenge when they did the two movies, okay, yeah, she was playing a character, but really it wasn't super well defined, so she could make it this like goofy, dorky dad that was hilarious in and of itself, but it was just Vanjie doing Vanjie.
Yep, totally. Exactly, it was Vanjie doing Vanjie. How you doing?
I'm not a regular dad, I'm a cool dad.
Oh my god, that was so, I just still can't get over that image, is burning in my head. Usually like week to week I'll kind of forget who people were, but like soon as you said the dad, I'm just like, that red wig with full face and just like dad bod all the way down,
and he was smiling from ear to ear. Yeah, totally. Exactly. All right, well, let's get into this episode. First off, I have to note that Honey Davenport, we barely knew you. They didn't even get no mirror talk, no erasing. I mean, I think they showed it, but I don't know what the hell it said. And nobody said shit about Honey. I think they were all just happy to survive, Liana. I can't remember the last time that we didn't get at least 10 seconds about the departing queen.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. I think it was all about the fact that they were gagging that six of them had to lip sync, and how, you know, Scarlett was amazed that, you know, all of them staged. He was like, oh, definitely two are going home. And then Sugarcane was like, oh my God, I was just so happy that, you know, I stayed.
Right.
I don't remember a single mention of Honey Davenport now that you say that.
I agree. And what Raja says is that RuPaul had six people lip syncing during the last episode. Raja says that everything she knows about RuPaul's Drag Race, Ali, has been thrown out the window. And what I want to say to Raja O'Hara is, no, I think you know everything there is to know about RuPaul's Drag Race. Ru was pissed. And I don't think that they have kind of gotten that yet, that the reason that all six of them were lip syncing, I think Vanjie alluded to this, but I haven't heard them really articulate it, that Ru was fucking pissed at them. Like, I think Ru was embarrassed in front of the guest judges that it was that bad. Do you agree with my assessment of that?
Yeah, I mean, no, definitely. And I think Ru has demonstrated in past seasons also that, like, Ru will do what Ru wants to do when Ru sees fit. So, like, I agree with you that, like, Raja shouldn't have been like, oh my god, everything I know is thrown out the window about Drag Race. Also, I'm surprised that you're feeling gagged by them not talking about Honey Davenport and like the mirror thing, because you know that when Rue does something she thinks is gag worthy, we're going to get hit over the head with the fact that it happened weeks to come. Like, don't forget the gang lip sync. Like, everybody was there. We're all doing it. I could do that again. Like, we're going to hear that for the rest of the season.
Yes. Well, one person who was not living for the six-way lip sync was Sugarcane. She says that when Rue was calling out all the names, she really thought she was going to go home. And this is the point in time where they all sort of articulate what was happening, that Rue was pissed at them, and they all decide, Liana, that they're not going to let any moment on RuPaul's Drag Race pass. They're going to step their pussies up. Do you believe them? And was this episode a reflection of the fact that they stepped their pussies up?
I just feel like, yeah, no, duh. Like, yeah, y'all did bad. I still go back to the fact that I can't decide if they do recognize how terrible they did, or if they were like, oh yeah, it was just that gag of the moment. Like, of course they better step their pussies up. I hope they take it to heart. I feel like, though, it was a little canned in the moment, but I mean, Suga, for example, looked really shook. Like, you could tell how emotional she was. And so, at least for her, I think she looked shook. I can't tell what shakes Scarlett. She's still, there's something about her I don't quite
get. Not the rhythm.
That's
shade,
right.
Shade. Oh, where's my shade button? God damn it. Oh my God. Yes! There we go. There it was. See? It's not easy to do on a podcast because it's like, oh my God, where's my button?
It takes me a second to recognize that it's shade. First of all, I'm like, oh, that's so shady. Then you gotta find the button, then you gotta hit the button. Like, I'm not coordinated, much like a Scarlet. I'm not coordinated enough for this.
Well, she was also furious that they weren't going to throw other people under the bus. Like, that I think also was pretty embarrassing and part of it. And I think Suga could have been safe based on the critique on her look had she been willing to trash her friends.
Mm-hmm. Or not even trash her friends. Just say, I think that, so-and-so was less successful in this area, and maybe we could have done better because of that. You know, you don't have to push someone out in front of the bus. Now, they may have framed it that way in Untucked and been like, girl, you pushed me under the bus. But still, right. I feel like that would have been better than saying what they did. Okay, so the next day, we don't even get any sort of video message from RuPaul. They ain't got time for this. They got things to do. Ru comes in and says that she has some disturbing news. A leak has been discovered, and that leak is coming from this very studio. My favorite line of the episode, Silky says, is Soju coming back?
Girl, that leak, though.
The shade of it all. So we get a mini challenge here, and I did not respond well to this mini challenge. I'm kind of mad that my liberal hero, Rachel Maddow, was used in such a shabby way, Allie. We get a mini challenge called Why You Mad, Al, though, and I have written on my notes, what a clusterfuck. A reading challenge from Mercedes Iman Diamond. Save me. She says that they don't have Rachel Maddow where she's from, but they did have a goat. Can you make sense of any of this? Ugh.
I would be lying if I said, going into this episode knowing that I was going to be doing this show with you guys, I'd be lying if I said I wasn't terrified to do this like political podcast.
Right.
But yeah, no, there's nothing political about saying this challenge was terrible. And it's funny because when they first were saying Rachel Maddow, I'm like, really? Drag Race couldn't get Rachel Maddow in studio or like to be involved. And then when they rolled the clip of her like, good luck, and then, okay, fine. I was like, all right, don't doubt Rue. But when they were first billing it, it's just like, here are the wigs, here are the glasses, we've taken care of everything, just read the material. Like, to me, nothing was interesting or fun about it. Even the queens who did well, I was just like, okay, like, it wasn't funny to me. And they barely had Rachel Maddow involved, which was like, okay, but not impressive.
Yeah, not to belabor the point, Liana, but like, in terms of, quote, doing well during this challenge, that would be just reading effectively. Like, I mean, you're not going to be able to make the material funny. I feel like even anybody who tried to make the material funny was somebody who was not doing well with the teleprompter. So this was just a mess. I have to believe you're with me on this.
This is a reading challenge, not a reading challenge.
Exactly.
So actually, I remember there was a teleprompter challenge. I want to say it was on America's Next Top Model. I don't know, somewhere. And I remember like finding it really hilarious and really like entertaining. Or maybe it was even on like season one of RuPaul's Drag Race. I don't know why that's standing out to me.
Maybe.
But anyway, I remember it being entertaining, and I was like, oh, okay, this is like could be kind of cool. And then as I was slowly watching it was like watching it unravel, just being like, oh no. Oh no, like this is not going well. This is not entertaining. And the fact that Scarlett was the one who won when, she was able to read and pronounce the words in a correct manner.
Yes.
All right, congratulations. Yes. The funniest person I thought was Vanjie, which we know from even her first episode on season 10, when she was like eloquent. she's just entertaining. So I thought she should have won.
Yeah, I think so, too. I'm with you. That would have been more fun as far as casting goes. But maybe Rue, after the last episode, really started to tilt the field in favor of somebody who she felt like she could trust with casting. So Scarlett Envy is the winner of this challenge, and Rue says, we are going to do this is this season's lip syncing challenge. It's Trump the Rusical. And by the way, I have to say, I never realized how many women are in Donald Trump's life, but I realized it after watching this episode. My goodness. So Scarlett Envy is assigning the roles, and we get a little pushback from some people. Mercedes says that she wants to be one of the leads. I was like, please, please, no. Like, I felt like if you're a watcher of RuPaul's Drag Race, I felt like we all knew that unless she really pulls something out of the hat, that Mercedes is probably going to end up in the bottom two. And it's just a matter of who is with, basically, I think it was, from my point of view, who is lip syncing against her to send her home? Because I didn't feel like there was any way that Mercedes was going to be able to survive a lip sync like this, especially after we got a lot of confessionals from her, even more so than normal. I don't know if you necessarily agree with me, Allie, but I felt like it was a foregone conclusion that Mercedes was going to be in the bottom two and probably going home.
Yeah, I think it was a pretty predictable from last week to this week, where like she's hesitant to talk about being a Muslim queen. And then like I was like, OK, no way are we not getting that story. So she's not going home this week, meaning last week.
Right.
And next week she's going to feel comfortable talking about it. She's going to get the story and then she's going home.
Yes.
Like that is just the 2 week trajectory on someone who's got a story they don't want to talk about. And not to simplify it or anything like that, but just like from like a watching perspective, that's usually what happens. I knew she was safe last week. I knew she was going home this week. I do kind of think, well, I'm curious to hear from you guys. I kind of felt bad for Mercedes when she seemingly was the only one at first stepping up to be the lead role. And then Scarlett just sort of like, oh, like anybody but her, please. Shouldn't they have just given it to her? Like at that point, nobody wants to do it. And I kind of think she might have been great, because the role ends up not being like that big, but she doesn't know anything about politics. And like, that's sort of the role of the girl, is like the I don't know anything. I met this man. I didn't know where I am or who he is or what. And then let her go down with the ship. She's going home anyway.
Yeah. So that's actually a really interesting point, because when she first was like, oh, you know, I'll do the main character, I was like, oh, no, this is like Cynthia Lee Fontaine playing Kim K in Kardashian, the musical. This is not going to go well. And then, you know, you had Silky coming in and saying like, oh, I want to be whoever she wanted to be. And that's like, oh, no, you're going to be Oprah. You see her succeed. So is the case with Mercedes where, you know, you should have trusted her and say, you know what? Yeah, maybe you want to be this naive, undefined, essentially character that you can then interpret to be yourself. Or, you know, do you think that Scarlett knows better, just like Scarlett potentially knew better for Silky? So I don't know. I almost kind of feel like if she really feels passionate about something, you know, just let her do it. But it was weird because then Scarlett later on got the commendation from Rue, like, great job casting. So, you know, I don't know. I feel like if you want to sabotage somebody, sabotage them or let them self-sabotage.
Yeah, I think. Go ahead, Lee. Allie.
No, I'm being rude by jumping in. I want to talk about that comment from Rue too, Brent, and see what you think about it. Like, we normally don't see something like that. It was like she was safe, but like got this little like good job on putting people in good spots. But is that really the goal of the person casting?
Well, see, that's what I thought. Well, see, we said last week that we think that Rue likes it when people are really gamers and when they really game the system and really try to trip up their competitors. Like we Aquaria during season 10, she said basically I gave people what they wanted. How I thought it would work out. And RuPaul was like, this is a competition for $100,000. So I'm a little confused about what Rue wants. I think what happened, this is my read on what happened, I have no evidence of this, but what happened from my point of view is that Rue was embarrassed about last week, really, really pissed, and wanted this week to go better. I feel like the queens, some of them realized that, and they probably on another day would have let Mercedes take the role that she wanted, considering nobody else was jumping up for it. But, and I take your point, Allie, that in the end, it probably would have been great. In fact, she may have done better as Shandy part rather than the part that she ended up getting with Ivanka. I'm trying to remember who everybody was looking at my notes. But I think that they just didn't want to take a chance that this is going to be a clusterfuck. I think they were like, we can't have two terrible challenges in a row where it looks absolutely disastrous to the guest judges, to the producers, to the fans. And so let's get this one right. And so we're going to shove Mercedes into something, because there's no way Mercedes is the winner of RuPaul's Drag Race. And she's been, and let's be real, on the previous week, she was damn lucky she was in the group that she was in. Otherwise, I think she would have been up for elimination. So, given that, I really don't feel like she has any place to cry. Not that she is crying, but people maybe who are fans of her are crying for her. I feel like things worked out the way that Rue wanted them to work out. And I take your point that we got that little snippet from RuPaul. I just think that Rue was pissed and she wanted a good show. Given that she got that, I guess that she's satisfied now. So maybe it's okay to compete for $100,000, Leona. I don't know. What the fuck? What the fuck?
Yeah, I don't know. Okay. I mean, whatever. It happened. That's the way it went. Yep. And we're here.
Exactly. So we get the casting choices. I'm going to go through them really fast, but there are a couple people who have a few problems. First off, Scarlett casts herself as Betsy DeVos. We get Raja O'Hara as Omarosa. And I think that is going to be very interesting to talk about. Evie Oddly is going to be Kellyanne Conway. Mercedes, as we mentioned, is Ivanka Trump. Then we got Silky Nutmeg Ganache as Oprah Winfrey. Nina West is Sarah Huckabee Sanders. Brooklyn Heights is Ivana Trump. Sugarcane is Hillary Clinton, along with Akiria and Vanessa as Stormy Daniels and Rosie O'Donnell, respectively. And then I kept waiting to find out who this person was. Plastic Tiara, who were you again? Oh, you were Melania, because I was taking notes. I'm like, did they tell me who Plastic was? I don't know if they did or not. But Plastic is Melania. And the one person who obviously had a problem was Silky Nutmeg Ganache, who will go on to win this challenge. So I would have liked to see what she did with Shandy. And I like the fact that Silky was willing to step outside of her comfort zone and do something totally unexpected. But on the other hand, she did such a great job with Oprah that I'm kind of glad that it went the way it did. So I don't know. I was happy.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, it's interesting to me because, like, especially speaking of, like, do the queens know the show from, like, what we were talking about earlier? Like, Silky was complaining that, oh, it was so obvious, but also it was only 40 seconds. Like, Rue loves a scene-stealing queen, when Bebe was Diana Ross. Mm-hmm. Like, she loves someone who comes out for 10 seconds, who looks exactly how they should look, nails the scene, and then goes away. Yep. Like, that is a winner all day long on RuPaul's Drag Race. So I just sort of, and Ru loves Silky. Like, it seems like Silky can do no wrong in Ru's eyes. Yep. So I thought she was, like, almost hurting herself by wanting to stretch and should have just, like, sat in her wheelhouse. But it wouldn't be Silky if she didn't have a problem with something.
Yeah, I was thinking this
is totally the Black China situation where, you know, Shay is able to come in and essentially in the 40 seconds or whatever that Oprah had, you know, similarly make a huge impact, really change up the feeling of the performance. And you just naturally stand out that way. So I was like, duh. Girl, like, be happy.
Well, so they end up dividing up into not into teams but into working groups for the purposes of the challenge, because some of them are working together in their lip syncs that they're going to do on stage. And RuPaul has a little bit of chat with each one of them, and my favorite moment of the episode was when RuPaul comes over to the table that Raja O'Hara is working at. And Raja is talking about her dance background and how much she dances, which we'll get a little bit more later. And she says, you know, I'm like, basically, she throws Nina West under the bus and says, you know, maybe I can help this one that has two left feet. And if I was Nina, I wouldn't want one of my competitors saying something like that in front of RuPaul. No, I think everybody knows that Nina West is not the best dancer of the queens that are left, but, you know, she's got some rhythm and she can do it, is what I want to say. But then, so Raja says, I can help out my competitors who maybe are having a few problems, trying to act like a big shot. And then Rue is like, well, I hope that you can help them out more than you did last week during the Mariah challenge. Oh my God. Shade of the year from RuPaul. I was like, and then Raja, I have written in my notes, Raja says, can we just keep the past in the past? And my response was, girl, it was like 12 hours ago. What are you talking about, Leona?
Oh my gosh, I know. And then, that's obviously not where it ends for her, but it was so funny to hear it start with Rue.
Yes.
And it's funny because, here's what I love to watch. Because when Rue is going around and doing, the check-ins with all the girls, I always look for Rue laughing, not the queens laughing. And this is a situation where the queens were laughing, but Rue was just like, not having. I was like, she is not being entertained. You may think it's funny, but it is not funny to Mother Rue.
All right, so we get to the performance aspect of this. We're going to get some choreography. And I don't know how you feel, Allie, but I have been waiting for Alyssa Edwards to come back as the choreographer. I can't stand Todrick for the most part. He's gotten better as a judge, but I don't really care for him as a choreographer. But I have no idea who this person was coming into this. Come for me if you want. I did not know who Yanis Marshall was, but this might be my favorite choreographer on RuPaul's Drag Race ever. I was living for everything Yanis was featuring today. What do you think?
Yeah, I knew you were going to be happy that Todrick wasn't there. Yeah. I'm a Todrick fan. But at this point, I feel like I'm hanging on because, like, I'm a Todrick fan, but, like, not because I think he's been particularly, like, new or interesting lately. Right. So I can understand why he wasn't there. I mean, maybe he was booked and busy, but I don't know. But, yeah, I was living for Giannis. He was hilarious. And the choreography looked hard. And I loved how much he was flirting with Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. Like, I liked the open flirtation between the court, like, the clear favoritism. That killed me. Yes. He was shady and I was into it.
Yeah. So go ahead. No, go ahead.
Well, he was like, I thought at least it came across to me as a little bit more like fun shade. And so that was also appreciated.
Yes, exactly. Raja first says that Yanis is asking for experience. And Raja steps up and says that she has modern dance, tap, African, jazz, ballet, whatever you need. Whatever you need, girl. Whatever you need. I got it. Okay. So it sounds good. And then he moves on down the line to Brooklyn, and Brooklyn says, I'm a trained ballet dancer. And he's like, oh, well, you know, can you show us something, you know? And Brooklyn proceeds to do, like, I don't know what she did, but she had, like, pirouettes and a twirl and a leg lift, whatever. And everyone is all, like, they are hot and bothered by it. And Yanis is loving it. But Raja is pissy because she's like, oh, we're going to do a demonstration now. Like, I have to say that Raja was giving me full, like, Fifi O'Hara villainesque, like, you're screaming at your television, yelling at her, because, Liana, we were pissed that Raja was not, like, last to be called safe last week. Like, she got called safe, like, right away. And, like, before Akira, she got called safe. And I was pissed about it, because I didn't want her to feel like she did any good whatsoever. Obviously, I got my confirmation this week when RuPaul throws shade at her that RuPaul did notice how terrible she was. But then you're like, you're yelling at the television screen going, stop being a jealous queen, because we don't like that on RuPaul's Drag Race.
Yeah, I don't know. Call it like confirmation bias or whatever you will. But yeah, because it was like, oh, man, like, I'm not really living for what she's bringing so far. It was kind of nice to see. It was like, ha, take that from Mr. Choreographer, whose name I barely remember, who's, I think, Giannis, perhaps. So yeah, I was here for it.
Yeah, Allie, I have to say that Raja, I was hopeful because in the build interview before the season, she was really out there. People were hating her. But then coming into the season, she was acquitting herself nicely, not amazingly, but nicely, to the point where I'm like, okay, this is a seasoned queen who maybe had a bad moment and she's going to be much better. But then last week and now this week, I have learned something about Raja O'Hara. She talks a big game, but Allie, she ain't got no game. She ain't got no game. I don't think.
Yeah. When Raja and Mercedes are the bottom here, I was kind of hoping for a double boot from Rue. I have not really been interested in anything Raja's been doing. I can't imagine that changing next week. But she's certainly most likely to go home next week. Just another kind of confirmed boot.
Yeah. Liana, I have to say, I agree with, not to jump the gun, but I agree with Allie on this one. There was a little bit of a pause from the music when Rue was getting to announce the Shantae, You Stay. And I was like, oh my God, is because last week they were preparing for a double boot or more. They didn't get it. And there are a lot of queens left. So, but on the other hand, VH1 likes their money. So I don't know.
Well, we are.
Actually, honestly, I was like, oh, okay. From the get go of the lip sync, I was like, well, I think Raja's probably going to stay. I think she embodies James Brown a little bit more. I don't know if that's a read, but then when her wig fell off and I saw Rue's face, I was like, oh God, she's going to send them both home.
Yes.
I would have believed it.
I would have too. So we get more choreography here, and it was pretty intense choreography, I have to say. Good for Yanis. I was like, he's working these queens. I don't know what happened with Ariel Versace here. It's like she had a breakdown. She had a full, mm-hmm. like, meltdown moment where she just froze. It was almost like a figure skater who's out there. Oh my God, I'm talking about figure skating again. I gotta stop that, Brent. Stop it. Where they're out there and they just like fall and they just stop their program. That's what it felt like to me. I don't know what's going on with Ariel in this moment, Allie, but I was like, just drop down. Why won't you drop down?
Yeah, Ariel is an interesting human here because she's like upset that she got the lead role. I think she wanted Ivanka, but like, why do you want Ivanka? She was barely in the scene. Like, do you just feel more comfortable in like a straight blonde wig as opposed to like a flipped blonde wig? I didn't understand why you would turn down being the star. It kind of seemed in that moment and in the whole early part of this episode, like kind of like a self-confidence crisis.
Yeah.
Like, she didn't think she had the chops to hold up to it. And in a way, she didn't. Like, she did the routine. She looked good, but she didn't stand out. Like, for the lead to not have come in the top, like, to just be kind of safe as the lead role is, I don't know, good job, I guess, but pretty disappointing, like, that you can't shine as the star.
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely think it was a total breakdown because you can just see she just gives up. Like, that was totally how it felt. And then that coupled with the confessional where she was obviously clearly crying, I was like, oh my God, she did this rehearsal, then went back and had a total breakdown in the little confessional room. So, I mean, I was so worried for her that she was going to be in the bottom. And when they started calling people at the end, I was like, oh no, this is the bottom because Ariel is in it. and then, you know, okay, you know what? She actually did okay.
No, I was so listening for Mercedes. I was like, okay, whichever crew Mercedes is in, that's the tops and the bottoms. And I ended up being right about that. All right, so...
Can I ask you a quick question? Yes, I just have one. I want to ask just a quick question about another casting decision. What do you think of Scarlett? I always want to call her Autumn for some reason. Yeah. Makes no sense. What do you think of Scarlett? Scarlett's choice of Betsy DeVos for herself.
I actually liked I liked the Betsy DeVos role because it stood out to me. Like, she had the speaking parts, which, you know, I don't know, maybe she got discounted because it was like, oh, you're not having to sort of lip sync and perform, but she was the center stage, stood out. She wasn't wearing orange. And so I thought that that might've been a strategic choice on her part to, oh, yeah, like it's a smaller role, but she kind of really stands out in that way.
Yeah, I agree with you. And it's so much harder to lip sync to spoken word than it is to something when in a song or with a rhythm. So I feel like that, you know, in that endeavor, she certainly succeeded. I felt like she was right on the money on all of the words to the point where I thought that she conceivably could have ended up in the top. As far as the casting choice, I feel like it's okay. You know, like, again, kind of obvious, but on the other hand, they were going for obvious this week to just make it as good as possible for RuPaul and company. So, by the way, and you know, I'm not the host very often on these things. I'm just subbing for Mike. So,
you're doing amazing.
Well, thank you, but that's unneeded. But thank you so much for saying that. What I was going to say was that as the host, you feel pressure to fill the dead airtime. Like, if everybody stops talking, I feel the need to talk. So if you want to say something, girl, jump in. You don't got to apologize. You're the guest. We love you. You know, you're just like me. You get somebody with, you're a fan with a microphone in front of your face. So anybody can jump in at any time. I'm just trying to keep things moving. So if you got something to say, say, Brandon, bitch, hold up. I got something to say. I'll be like, okay. I'm here for you, girl.
Well, I'm through, Jasmine Masters.
oh, God. No, I just think I feel a little differently than you guys do. I think she did a good job. I think Betsy DeVos is, like, a little bit old news, like, a little bit not funny. Like, I was getting, like, oh, my God, I'm in a school. Like, I shouldn't be here. Like, totally agree. Like, we all know that. But, like, to me, there was not... She didn't even wear the right wig. Yeah, like, I just didn't think there were that many funny elements of Betsy DeVos. And I just thought, like, if you're picking, I mean, I guess she couldn't be, to me, Kellyanne Conway was exactly who I thought she was going to be, just like without even knowing the cast. I was like, that's the most obvious. Like, the look is funny. The mannerisms are funny. I guess she does. Evie embodies her more. So that made more sense. But right. I was like, okay, Betsy DeVos is like a step above being Ivana or Ivanka, but like definitely below any of the other women with like more funniness around them, just like inherently funny traits. But she did fine. It was safe, but I didn't think it had winning potential at all.
Okay, cool. That's cool. I mean, we obviously don't totally agree, but on the other hand, I'm not that wedded to my position. So I'm just like, you know, like on Big Brother, if Terrence said something I disagree with, I would like probably fight with him. But on this one, I'm like, I can kind of see where you're coming from. But on the other hand, I kind of feel like she did pretty good given like how hard it was to do spoken words. So that's kind of where I'm coming from. And it's not something where I'm trying to throw shade at you. All right. So the mirror talk this week. We get two of these, actually. The first one involves Nina West relating her experiences. By the way, this is the very special moment music that we're going to get. and I'm not trying to make fun of it here, but I did feel like, okay, we're going to get some serious moment here. And it ended up being very serious because Nina was talking about her experiences running for class president and unfortunately getting gay bashed along the way. And we also get a little bit of a history lesson on the Matthew Shepard case for those of you. And, you know, as somebody who grew up, I think I was like 25 when Matthew Shepard was murdered. That was right around the time that the Supreme Court released their first pro-gay rights decision in like Roe versus Evans. So I was really like getting into my culture as a gay man. And I was out by that time. But I know that this did scare the living shit out of my parents. And I was really, really happy to hear somebody talk about Matthew Shepard. Because it's even like for those people who don't realize what happened to Matthew Shepard, he was essentially tricked into getting into a car with two guys who he thought he was going to have sex with. He was then taken out to a fence and robbed and pistol whipped and tortured and set on fire and tied to a fence and left there for 18 hours. And he eventually died 6 days later after they found him. And I don't mean to get really serious for a moment, but Nina relates this as the point in time where she decided to get more involved with gay rights. And I totally understand, Allie, as a... are you a lawyer? I can't remember if you are a lawyer or if you've graduated yet. I think you have, haven't you?
No, I am a law student.
You're a law
still.
Student. I'm sorry. As somebody who... And by the way, did you like my poll of Roe versus Evans? Did you like that? Yeah.
I'm being very impressed by this whole thing.
Thank you. This is the point in time where Nina decides to get more involved in gay activism. And she has stayed true to that in the 20 plus years that she has been a drag queen. So I really, even though I was like already sort of snarky going into it, like, oh my God, this is the serious moment of RuPaul's Drag Race. This is a very special moment. It actually was something that I really did appreciate, Allie. And I was really, really happy we got to hear about Matthew Shepard.
I think this is really one of the many things that RuPaul's Drag Race does well, is getting these moments with the queens to talk about things that are super like important to them on a micro level, yeah, and on a macro level important to the gay community, the LGBT community, and just all the entire world, the community at large. And I thought Nina, Not My Party West, was a great person to be talking about this. It was like brave of her. I'm calling her that forever. I loved when she said that to her, like, well, not my party, but they did win. I think it was really brave of her to share this story, and it just shows like, I don't know. Like, it just, I think many people probably had the reaction you did, Brent, which is like really relating to it. Whether you were alive at this time, or I'm thinking of younger people watching this, and just like, we're obviously in a very different time. But in certain ways not. So I thought it was really important, really well done by the show. And I'm glad that they included the whole story in the edit.
Yeah, me too.
Well,
so
that's what I was thinking, to go to your point, Allie, about the sort of younger audience, the fact that RuPaul's Drag Race has new viewers who are so, you know, I mean, they're younger.
They're young.
And
yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, his murder was what, 1998, I think. So yeah, like, to remember why you're fighting for what you're fighting for, and to remember that things weren't always, I mean, there's still struggles, but like, I mean, my God, to share a tragedy like that, and then to have Nina West, you know, share her own personal story alongside it. Like, I think it's really important that these types of things are discussed.
Yeah. This was, for me, I'll tell you, there's two things. Number one, this was right next to the moment in time where the guy got murdered at a military base. And this is the reason why my parents didn't want me to go into the military, is because a year before, in 1999, a boy in Kentucky at a military base had gotten killed, in fact, beat over the head with a baseball bat by fellow soldiers. Jeez. Who didn't like it that he was dating a trans girl. And they found that very offensive, and they were obviously haters, and they beat him over the head, and they were murderers, and they killed him. And then just a year earlier, the Matthew Shepard case happened, and Matthew Shepard was somebody that I identify with, because at the time, and even for like many years since, and I may do again one day, I had blonde highlights in my hair, and I felt like I looked like Matthew Shepard, and I could have done what Matthew Shepard did. You see a couple of, you know, like to be totally frank and cool with you guys, like straight looking guys who want to take you home, and you're like, oh yeah, that's like your fantasy, and then, you know, 5 minutes later you're getting tied up and killed. I mean, that could have happened to me. There was no reason why it couldn't have been me rather than Matthew Shepard. So I was really taken with this mention of Matthew Shepard in this episode, and I was really glad that RuPaul's Drag Race took the time to teach younger viewers, because if you're just a younger person, you've heard about Matthew Shepard, oh yeah, some, you know, gay kid who got killed. Yeah, that's all true, but it's so much worse than what you thought it was. So I was really, really happy to hear that. The other moment in time that we get from the Mirror Talk this week is from Mercedes. And this is the thing that you referred to, Allie, the full circle moment for Mercedes, where she explains a little bit about her religion. She explains to the other girls that she doesn't want people to hate her for being Muslim. And I have written in my notes that I just want to say that I don't hate her for being Muslim. I just hate her for being a sucky ass drag queen.
Oh God, Brent. Look, I mean, this comes obviously was not planned to come at the time with what just happened in New Zealand. Mm-hmm, but I think it's really, really interesting and devastating, but interesting that, like, usually we'll see these Mirror Talks like, somebody either like their family doesn't know they're doing drag or when they came out, or like the ways that they were, they feared they wouldn't be accepted by their life outside of the workroom. But here, this bit is sort of like Islamophobia is so mainstream in America and elsewhere. Like when they were on What You Packin', I think I watched a little of it. Michelle was like, in America, but it's like, it's not just in America. Yeah. I mean, it's terrible in America, but it's not only in America. It's so mainstream that Mercedes is afraid of talking about being Muslim inside the workroom, which is, I think, and I mean, not new, but it's unique in that sense. Like, I'm afraid my drag sisters aren't going to accept me for this. I'm afraid America's not going to accept me for this. And that broke my heart. And I'm glad that she got that immediate love and support from her sisters. And I hope, I mean, the drag queen audience is never super, the Drag Race audience is never super warm all the time, but hopefully they're being warm to her in that respect.
Yeah, hopefully they are, Liana. This is the only other time I remember somebody like really not feeling comfortable to say something on RuPaul's Drag Race and share it with the fans was Kim Chi, when she wouldn't really go into, you know, what was happening with her mom, and she wouldn't tell her mom that she was doing drag, or she wouldn't talk about it and give us the resolution of that, if there was any resolution that, you know, her mom got from watching her, number one, that she came out, number two, that she's doing drag. So I was glad to see that this happened. I was also really glad, Liana, that somebody as smart and cool as Evie Oddly was there to say what I think we were all thinking, because Mercedes says that she doesn't want people to feel like every Muslim is a terrorist. And my first thought sitting at home was, well, the way people aren't going to think about Muslims being terrorists is for you to be out and proud. Like, you walking away and denying it yourself is not helping your cause. And I say that as with as much empathy as possible for her, but that's where I'm coming from. Like this is your moment to help. That's why, in part, I have to believe why you were cast in the show. I mean, the show talked about it. The first Muslim drag queen to be on RuPaul's Drag Race. And let's be honest, she's not overflowing with charisma, uniqueness, nerve, and talent. So I do believe that there was a portion of it that RuPaul wanted to break some barriers and break some new ground on RuPaul's Drag Race and have her on. So by her not really talking about it, Evie makes a great point that by denying who she is, she's and just walking away, she's denying kids who are watching the opportunity to see her, Liana.
Yeah, but when you are somebody who is being I understand that point, but it is so hard to stand up and be loud and proud when you are worried about being murdered or persecuted in the same way that Matthew Shepard was murdered for being him. Like, she feels, I think, probably somewhat similar. I mean, you just have to look at what just happened in New Zealand. And I think the point that was made from Scarlett about not like we must not be making you feel comfortable. I mean, I think it is definitely a two-way street. And, you know, like Akiria, I think, had some comments last week that were a little like not, I don't know, she like didn't seem open to learning. And I can understand why Mercedes wouldn't want to, you know, to really talk about all of this, especially when we live in a country where Trump's travel ban is preventing, you know, people from coming to the United States. That, I mean, it's a complete sham and it's complete bullshit. And what Ali was saying about the fact that Islamophobia runs rampant everywhere, especially in the United States, like it is very hard to be a Muslim in the United States. And that's why I really feel for her. And I'm happy that the other queens were able to eventually kind of start to get this story out. But I think when you are faced with this type of persecution, like, yeah, I can understand why she would want to stay in her shell. But I think we have to slowly progress forward. And I think that this was one step, at least within the drag community.
Yeah, my issue, you know, obviously it's up to her and her confidence level to be able to be out and proud. On the other hand, I take your point on that. My issue was that I felt like she was kind of doing it halfway. Like because she came on and said, I'm the first Muslim drag queen to be on RuPaul's Drag Race. And she said it in Untucked that that's who she is. She's a Muslim drag queen. And then I felt like she's sort of retreating from that moment. So that may be the point in time where people like Akiria, and I don't mean to call her out, but since we were talking about her, didn't make her feel as comfortable as they should talking about her faith and her religion. And it didn't seem to me like Akiria was being any sort of phobic whatsoever. It's just that she didn't take it as seriously as maybe she should have, considering it's a religion she doesn't know anything about, Ali. So that's that, or Leon, whoever wants to talk about this.
Yeah, I just want to respond to that, just because I think, I don't think Akiria meant anything by it,
but I think
being aware of the fact that there is such persecution against like particular groups is something you really have to be aware of. And I think, you know, for Muslims in the United States, that's just starting to come about. And I think that as part of, it's part of our responsibility to start to be aware of that and to be aware of how someone who is in an underrepresented or persecuted group might feel. So, you know, it all kind of goes together, and this is all a conversation that needs to be had. And you know, so I'm happy that it's happening.
Go ahead, Ali.
No, that's fine.
Okay. I'm good. All right. So let's get the challenge going. We have a great challenge here. I thought this worked out really, really well. Obviously, if you bumps in the road, but I have to tell you right away, I cannot take my eyes off Evie Oddly. Oh my god. So just speaking in macro terms in this challenge, I have to believe you, Ali, that you were living for this Rusical. And we get a Rusical a lot. We get like Shade the Rusical, Kardashians the Musical, whatever the hell the musical. I thought this one worked really well. I don't know if it's because there were so many women cast who were on stage, but I really had a great time with it. It was like, it was something where I was laughing so hard it almost just made me want to cry in my beer, because the fact that I realized at the end of it, oh my god, he really is president.
Yeah, I was really not looking forward to this when I found out it was gonna be the Trump Rusical, because I was like, oh, okay, like, yes, like people need to laugh, but I was like, I don't really want to laugh at this. Yeah. Like, I don't want this in my Drag Race. Like, I think this is terrible. And then I really don't want the like guaranteed sugar-coated message at the end, whatever is going to come. And I think it delivered more on the actual Rusical than I thought it would. I liked how they did it, where it was all the women. Ginger Minj coming out as I mean, that was hysterical.
That was hysterical. But, oh my God.
So I thought it was as well done as it could have been done if it had to be done. Question if it had to be done. But the last number about like all of these terrible women telling me to like mostly terrible women telling me like they're the future. I was like, I see what you're trying to do, but it's just so heavy handed. I don't need a sign that says Ivana for president or Ivanka, either one of them. Dear God, no for president. I was just like, wow, this is exactly why I didn't want this. Not because of the political jokes, but because the joke of the like women are the future message at the end.
Yeah. Leona, okay, I want to tell you something first, because this is my one Mike Bloom moment of the whole season right here. I thought of this on my own. So it's not Ginger Minge, who was playing Donald Trump. As Donald would say, it's Ginger Minsk.
I'm sure Mike Bloom, wherever he is, appreciated that joke.
Yes, I'm sorry. You had a point, and I totally distracted you from it. Do you remember what it was?
Yeah. Well, so, I mean, I was going to agree with Allie. Okay. I actually felt very similarly. Like, this is a touchy subject for me, just because there are so many things that I value that are being completely devalued in this administration, and it has gotten past the point of laughter for me, and so I was really not looking forward to it. And, I mean, I thought it was fine. There were some people that I was entertained by. Actually, Nina as Sarah Huckabee, I thought was really funny.
And that was just amazing.
Yeah. I could, like, watch her face move. Yeah. There's something about it that I thought was really funny. But yeah, I also didn't get that point at the end, Allie. Maybe you can explain to me the fact, was it about, like, terrible women can run too? Or I guess I didn't quite get it.
I didn't either.
I thought it was supposed to be more like, okay, the end is like all of the women are the future, right? Not necessarily like these women. Okay, Melania like takes off the hat and puts on the pink hat. But like, I just thought it was like such a stretch. And like, I know like RuPaul's Drag Race is not trying to redeem these women in this moment. I don't necessarily think it was a call to these women. I mean, a lot of times people will say like, oh, Melania's being like held captive, or like, where's Ivanka? Like, she should know what's right. But like, I didn't think it was that. I think it was just like, oh, we're not going to change outfits. Like, we're just going to talk about how great women are to save from the fact that we did this political joke and try to slap a good message on.
Okay.
Oh.
All right.
Well, at least it didn't end with the music that ended the two, like the one from All Stars 3 and then the one from the Kardashians, like the greatest story ever told. That one that ends all musicals. At least that wasn't there. So I'll take it.
All right. So we will try to ignore the content of what was being presented on stage and just talk about the performances. I do also want to note that we had two freaking awesome guest judges this week in Tiffany New York Pollard and Joel McHale. Whoever wants to talk, I have to say these were two of my favorite guest judges ever. I love them. They were freaking
really
great. I loved them. Yes. Tiffany,
I was like, well, Tiffany.
Let me get my point and then you can get, and then you can come for me. So I thought New York was great. I've been wanting for her to come. She was throwing shade. She was having fun. She was being a blast. Like, she was in the moment living as a fan. Like, if I was up there judging Joel McHale, like, I don't know exactly what was happening there. And I don't know why the show needed to hit us over the head 10 times. But on the other hand, that's kind of what the show does. If they have a gag, they hit us over the Bandy. Anyway, so like, they have this gag of him going, yeah, like with the straight boy kind of voice, and Michelle like giving him these looks. I didn't know if there was actually something going on. I have to believe there was nothing going on, like that they were like it's, here's the thing. I think it's like Taryn and me, where we like each other, but like at a distance, and we try to have like mutually positive respect for each other. And I enjoy him more than he enjoys me, but I do feel like that's the relationship that they were having. He annoys her, but she kind of like grudgingly gives into it. So that's why I enjoyed it and it was fun to watch. So give me your rebuttal to that.
So I don't think I have a huge rebuttal. First of all, okay. Tiffany New York Pollard all day long. She could join the panel full time. I love New York. I hated that I had to go on this long seeming like I was going to interrupt to disagree about a love for New York. She was great. That said, even when they announced it, and I like Joel McHale, I used to watch The Soup. Like, I think he's funny. I used to watch Community. But it was like Tiffany New York Pollard and Joel McHale for me. From a Drag Race fan perspective.
Now, are you...
I don't know.
Let me just ask this, because a lot of Twitter was going on about the fact that this is like a straight, cis, white male who is judging Drag Race. I mean, is that part of your issue with this, or the fact that it just didn't work?
If he was good... No, because like Bobby Moynihan was on, right? Is he straight, cis, white male?
Yeah.
As far as I know. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
That's like less important for me, as much as like I was at first like, what's he doing here? Okay, but like, let's give him a chance. And then he's just like screaming at the queens, and Michelle Saida is coming, and I can't get a sense if that was like a bit, because I'm looking at Michelle's Twitter and like somebody was like, oh, Joel being an asshole, Michelle Saida saving it, and she retweeted that, but she also retweeted like someone being like, buddy cop movie with Michelle and Joel. Like, I mean, she's just like retweeting for attention, I guess. But I couldn't tell if he was uncomfortable if this was what he was brought in to do, or if he was mocking the queens. Like, I didn't know what it was.
I didn't think he was mocking the queens, Liana. I felt like he was there and having a great time and really enjoyed being on RuPaul's Drag Race. But I take Ali's point that I can see how someone might perceive that he was mocking the queens, and he could have been. I don't know. I don't have any inside evidence. And I do get where you're coming from, Ali, in that...
I don't know either. I just thought it like was...
Yeah.
Maybe don't go borderline if that's if you're here to be a judge.
Yeah, exactly. It was a little borderline. Liana, do you have, break the tie. What was happening here?
Okay, so first of all, love New York. Okay, I am a huge fan of the like mid-2000s reality TV on VH1, so here for it, obviously.
Yes.
Okay, moving on. Joel McHale. So he was a guest judge on The Masked Singer, which is a show I became very weirdly obsessed with.
Yes, I remember.
Over this winter. And he pretty much did a similar thing where he came in and he was like kind of sarcastic. But for that judging group, it actually worked really well as a shtick. And I kind of wonder if he was like trying to do a shtick here, but it just didn't come across that well. Like, it was really awkward. I also didn't get the whole Michelle Visage him thing, like whether or not she was actually pissed or was enjoying it. I thought she looked pissed. But yeah, it didn't quite work. Like, I wanted it to work, but it felt odd. Not Evie oddly, just odd.
All right. Well, be that as it may, it was at least a lively panel. And we have a runway this week, and we didn't talk about this beforehand, but we're going to do what we normally do, Ali, if that's okay with you, and talk about their lip sync performances and their runways together. Let's talk about the safe queens first. Akiria... C. Davenport was called safe this week, and she played Stormy Daniels. I have to believe that we were sort of like, yeah, whatever, for her lip sync performance, but I was living for her runway, Ali. I live for this orange, like, Nicki Minaj look. She was serving it to me on the runway. To me, it's flawless. It just looks freaking amazing.
So I'll talk about the look first.
Okay.
I think I totally agree with you. I think the challenge with a color challenge like this is you have to like think of a creative way to interpret it so that you're not just showing the same look. And I think to do it in a wig is really, really smart. And she looked phenomenal. And I did love how we usually don't, I usually can't tell if like the queens can hear the judges' comments, if they're added in post, like what the deal is. But the fact that she was like, did someone just call me Nicki Minaj? Like, this is all natural. Like that we got the response to New York's call out. I loved for the lip sync. So I agree with you for the lip sync. I think generally the group of like the Hillary Rosie Stormy group was definitely on the weaker side, but I think she was the standout of those three, believe it or not. Like, I actually thought she did a good job as Stormy. She like hit the lyrics and she was doing like the sexy moves and the look was right. So for like a weaker part with a weaker group, I thought she did a good job.
Yeah, I also thought she did, you know, a decent enough job to be safe, but not enough to stand out in terms of the lip sync. I thought she was fun. Yeah, I would also agree that I thought that that group was not necessarily as strong in general. But to go to her look, I want to talk about the fact that the wig, that like the hair is also on the outfit. Like, it was attached to the outfit and it was the wig. Like, I had to go back and rewatch to actually see that it was sewn in. Yeah, there was like sewn into the outfit itself, I think.
Okay.
So I was very much here for that because, yeah, it was that unique interpretation of a color challenge where you could have people walk out in a Latrice Royale-esque orange gown. So.
Yeah, I was here for this. By the way, I wanted to institute something. So Mike's away. I'm the host. I'm drunk with power here. Here, Liana, like I think we should just like we should literally just like toot and boot the looks. Like, did you basically thumbs up, thumbs down? I'm thinking we're all thumbs up on Akiria Chanel Davenport. Like, I was here for this look and I feel great about it.
Thumbs up for me.
All right, we're gonna toot that look. Somebody else who was safe this week was Ariel Versace, and I have to say, I am so flipping bored with Ariel Versace. I thought she was gonna be a fun, cool. Bratty queen coming into this competition. That's kind of what she serves on her Instagram page. But oh my God, if I see this silhouette of a wig again, I'm going to scream. Ali, take it away, because you talked earlier about the fact that she's already showing the same look over and over again.
Yeah, I have nothing to say about her lip sync performance or really the look. Yeah. Like, I thought she was fine. The look, to me, she has a real proportion problem. Like, honestly, I was happy to see her in like a somewhat cinch situation here, because when she's been doing her like crop top and mini look where she like adds like the weight on her hips, like, listen, I don't want to do that either, sister. So this at least was like maybe a little bit more flattering, but boring. And I wrote in my notes, I guess I'm being more kinder now to looking at the picture of it, because in my notes, all I have is, I hated this. I'm sorry.
God. I don't. Okay. So I'll boot it too, just solely because of the I have one in every color hair. And also, it felt very much like the fringe challenge, but with like poorly
done. Right.
No,
I'm laughing because you're right. Oh my God. That's exactly what it is. She has one in every color. Oh my God.
Yeah. One in every color. And she didn't
stand out
to me.
We've seen purple, we've seen blonde, we've seen orange, right? Like that's.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a lot.
Little samey.
Yeah, and by the way, she was Shandy during the challenge, and I thought she acquitted herself pretty well as Shandy. She was nervous about it going in, but as she said in Untucked, I felt like she did redeem herself well, but certainly not enough to get into the top. It was a serviceable job by Ariel Versace. Somebody else who was safe, who I don't think should have... Well, actually, I take that back. The runway I hate. Yeah. is Nina West. And I felt like that her performance in the challenge was absolutely spectacular. In fact, I think it was like top two material as far as the challenge goes. As Sarah Huckabee Sanders, I thought she was great. She was scene stealing. She was everything I wanted from Sarah Huckabee. I love the fact that she's from the Midwest. She can give us that. And I know Sarah Huckabee Sanders is more from a little south, but she was great at giving us that Sarah Huckabee's like the caricature that we have of her, because she is a bit of a caricature herself. But oh my God, I will boot this runway the house down. This is dated. This is tired. This is boring. This is, and she's trying to like say, well, it's a Hello Dolly thing for my girl, Barbara Streisand. Like, i.e., please don't hate me because it's boring, but it's boring. Liana, I'll go to you first. I can't, somebody was laughing, so I have to believe that they agree with me. Are you with me on booting this terrible runway?
Okay, so one time my mom, my sister, and I all went to like an amusement park, and we got our photos taken in that like old timey saloon black and white thing where they threw these like old school gowns on us that didn't fit and didn't even attach in the back. That's what this looks like a little bit to me. not crazy about it, but I don't know. She also, with her mop look last week, like I hated the outfit, but there's something about her charisma that is just so entertaining. So I feel like she does kind of get a pass, but I thought in the challenge she did really, really well. Like I genuinely thought she was going to be in the top three, and I was a little surprised. It must have been this runway look that knocked her down.
Yeah.
I mean, she had even...
Go ahead.
Put up, I can't wait anymore. If she had even put up like a passable runway look, I think it would have been enough to knock Brooklyn out of the top. But my, this looked cheap. It wasn't even that it was like old, right? Because if you do this, like, I mean, it looks like it needs to be pressed. Like she just pulled it out of her suitcase and it's like wrinkly, doesn't fit. If this were like an expensive looking, old timey, this was like an insult to Hello Dolly. Like if she, like she, could have pulled this look off and it would have been even fine, and then could have been in the top. Also, the reference to Barbara Streisand really didn't hold up well for her there. But I was so disappointed with this look. She probably, I will recognize Evie's performance as probably just the best in the challenge, but Nina West was my favorite, and she plummeted after this look.
God, it just does. That's what I'm saying. It looks like she went to an amusement park and like pulled this out of the old timey trunk with the like old outfits. It's just bad.
All right.
I love her though, but it's so bad.
Yes. Well, let's talk about the caster of this whole challenge, Scarlet Envy. She is called safe as well. Look, this runway, I'm going to talk about the runway first. This was pretty freaking cool. She was beat the house down. She was painted for the gods. And I think that was her real hair on the runway. There may have been some stuff added to it that she has like matching pieces or something, but I really, really love this paint and this look. The one thing I didn't like, the dress doesn't hit the floor, and that annoys the living shit out of me. And because of that, I'm gonna give it a boot, because I cannot stand when a hoop skirt does not hit the floor. It's T length. You really think so? Like I feel like
that's what
of,
I thought.
I felt like it was sort of in between.
Mm.
Okay. Well,
I thought she was pulling off the T length look, although I did not. I'm going to Instagram for another photo. Like, one thing I didn't understand. I agree, the beat was great. Interesting about the hair. I didn't think about it. I don't think she has enough hair to quite do this, but I think that it looks like it could be, which is pretty impressive. I wouldn't have caught that unless you said it. The beat is good. I think like the cuffs are cool. The nails are cool. It looks expensive. I'm not understanding how she's like, oh, I made this by hand, and like, that's impressive. But to me, the dress itself kind of falls flat. I don't love the color and the print. I don't love the bow on the chest. The length doesn't bother me, but I was not like, oh my God, I'm fully gagged for this look. And she made it by hand. I was sort of like, oh, it kind of like shows that she made it by hand.
Yeah, there was something about it where and I know that she showed it in Untucked where like the hoop skirt actually came off and there was like a little mini skirt thing, because I felt like the way that the hoop skirt moved was kind of weird because there was that little bit of length without the hoop skirt. But I don't know. I really like the fabric. I would probably toot this.
All right. I'm trying to find a reference, but we're going to talk now about Sugarcane. There's, by the way, if you want to know what I'm doing, I'm looking for a reference because there's somebody on this runway who is safe, but they wore an outfit that was previously worn on this runway by somebody else. So while I'm looking for that to send to you guys, because I want to show it to you, Sugarcane was also called Safe, and she played both Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump this week. She was Hillary Clinton during the challenge, and she gave us an outside-the-box look as the Donald himself on the runway. Really interesting take. I was actually really, really pleased for the fact that I didn't have to see something else assault my eyeballs in total orange. My one clock would be she didn't paint her feet. I could see that the backs of them were like as white as snow. But other than that, I thought this was a really, really fun take on a challenge. And Allie, I have to think that I don't know. Maybe I'm speaking out of turn. You may not have liked the Donald look.
I'm surprised that you called this outside the box. Okay. Only because I think she's so lucky. Like, it's outside the box in the sense that it's like man drag. She's wearing a pantsuit, but I'm so surprised. Like, I think she's so lucky that nobody else did this.
Yeah.
Because even if one other queen did that, it's not like that unique. They're doing, although I guess like they only knew Orange Alert. They didn't necessarily know it was going to be a Trump challenge going along with it. But if you think about it a little bit, like, somebody else could have had this idea, and that would have totally sent them both to the bottom, I think.
Oh my gosh. Sorry. I have to say real quick, that's a point I was thinking of, Allie. I was like, they just knew it was Orange Alert. And then can you imagine she like shows up and she's like, fuck, I have a Trump outfit. And then like, is the whole theme of the challenge was Trump. Okay. Sorry. I'll let you continue.
No, but
I just thought like, so maybe I'm going to give a little bit more credit thinking, like forgetting that she didn't know it was going to be a Trump episode also, but it was also the most basic. Like, I also just don't think Trump is funny anymore. Like, I didn't love the look. I thought she didn't look amazing in it either. Wasn't funny to me. So I'm going to boot it, but I understand the toot from Brent.
Okay.
Not like from you. I understand the toot from anyone.
Yeah, milk is shooketh here in the boy drag. Yeah, I don't know. But also, if you're going to do Trump, why this suit? Like, it still feels like a woman cut. I don't know. Like, everything was sort of an odd choice here. I would probably boot it as well.
Okay, well, I'm not voted then. But I get where you guys are coming from.
Well, I don't think, to Liana's point, like, I don't think you can come out and, like, actually do, like, Ginger Minj. If she did what Ginger Minj did on the runway, I think that's a definite boot. Like, I think she had to make it a little feminine to pull it off of the runway.
Yeah. Yep, I'm with you.
You didn't want to see. Oh my God, but Ginger Minj. Okay, I just want to go back. Ginger Minj was so funny. I know we talked about this.
We really didn't. I just did my pun. We didn't really talk about it. Yeah, I didn't even know that was Ginger Minj. I was like, who is playing Donald Trump? Because I've only seen Ginger in confessional as boy, but even then, like, she was really put together. So I had no idea. In fact, I think that do you guys remember the episode where it was like you're a dancer and you have to do like your boy side and your girl side? You looked like half.
Yes.
When Ginger was the man side, she looked like Donald Trump. a little bit, but like in that really manly looking, not really manly, like a pudgy manly looking. You know what? I'm trying to throw shade at Donald. Come on, work with me here, Allie. Come on.
I'm sorry. I'm looking at Ginger Minj's Instagram because she's got a selfie of her as Donald.
All right. Well, I haven't been able to find the picture, but I wanted to talk about the fact that Plastic Tiara played Melania Trump in the challenge. Somebody who I think, again, did a serviceable job, didn't stand out to me. The runway, though, although I do enjoy it, it was pointed out to me that Valentina has worn this look, this exact look, before. I don't know if Plastique got the bodice from and the wig from Valentina, but it has been on RuPaul's Drag Race before. Now, I know that they sometimes show things out of order. I can't remember which one was taped first. And the wings in the back were definitely added. I think, look, as in a vacuum, this is a great look, but I don't like things being repeated on the runway. But on the other hand, I wouldn't notice that Valentina wore this before if somebody hadn't told me about it. So that's where I'm coming from on this. So I'm going to give it a grudging toot. But again, she's just giving me more pretty but boring, and I would like her to think a little bit more outside the box. I guess she's trying to do that in the wings sort of area of this, or whatever that's supposed to be in the back, dragonfly, I can't tell, me butterfly, I guess. But it still is, like, she can't not look pretty. And I guess, you know what, I just realized something. Next week is the Halloween challenge, so if she comes out looking pretty again, I'm through with her.
Yeah, I think she did a really good job as Melania. I'm surprised there wasn't more fighting for that role, because that's like kind of the easiest role to do of the day, I think. But she definitely pulled it off. I think she's probably the most suited for it. So kudos to her for the challenge. That said, I am giving this runway a full boot. Like, okay, can't give it a bigger boot, only because I didn't even know about the Valentina thing. I totally agree with you on that. The wings, to me, they look better in this picture than they looked on the runway. Like, were sad and droopy. They were like halfway down her body.
Blasted.
No butterfly could fly with those wings. Like, they were hairy and weird. Ugh. And she was like, oh, Cardi B wore this exact corset. And to me, it seems like one of those things where, like, you buy something a celebrity wore because it's cool and it's expensive and, oh, a celebrity wore it. And then it doesn't look good on you, but you try to wear it anyway. Like, I just did not think this was working.
Oh my gosh, Allie. So, okay. So, first of all, I will talk about the corset. I actually thought that the corset, it didn't look, like it quite fit, but I was like kind of here for it, for this like fire feather nonsense. But then with the freaking butterfly wings, I mean, my God, I was thinking the exact same thing. Not to get into the aerodynamics of it all, but those little tip top, like tiny top wings are never gonna lift her or any butterfly off the ground. They look like they didn't match. They look like they were too low. All I could think about was how well Courtney Act did her like giant ass wings, and I was thinking how this paled in comparison to that. So I applaud the idea of it. But in the execution, she looked gorgeous. Like, she's beat for the gods. Hair looks right. But I just was so distracted by the wings. Couldn't get over it.
Yeah.
Totally with you.
All right. So let's talk about the tops and the bottoms. Where is it at? I haven't written down. Damn it, Brent. Get prepared. The tops are Evie Oddly, Silky Ganache, and Brooklyn Heights. And the bottoms are obviously Mercedes Amon Diamond, Raja O'Hara. And I was waiting to see who was going to join them. And it happened to be Vanessa, Vanjie, Mateo. Let's talk about Vanjie real quick. We've been going on about the fact that she has this gold glitter, same silhouette, doing the same thing every week, covering up her tattoos. Apparently that's the deal. Like, she's trying to cover up her tattoos on her chest and look a little bit more femme by using the gold glitter. Having said that, I am so tired. I'm glad Michelle called it out. On the other hand, this is a really expensive look, and I enjoy that. I like money on the runway. It fits her well. She is painted well. And the feathers look expensive as well. Like, I mean, it's not easy to get great looking feathers like that. So I enjoy it. But on the other hand, it's a little bit repetitive for me. It's getting in the territory of Plastic Tiara and Ariel Versace with, like, I've seen it before, so please enthrall me next week. Boot. What do you think, Liana?
It's not red. How dare you?
Yes.
She walked out in at least half red, half yellow, because it's orange come through primary colors outfit. So yeah, I mean, I totally agree. Like if I look at this in isolation, I'm like, oh my gosh, it's so gorgeous. I love the headpiece. It's like very Vegas showgirl. But then thinking about everything else, I'm like, oh yeah, she looked pretty much the same last week, the week before, and the week before that.
Yeah, so, Allie, go ahead. No,
but it's beautiful. Yes. So well,
what did you think of her Rosie O'Donnell? I didn't even talk about that. I thought her Rosie was actually pretty good. I mean, I don't know how they want to. How do they want Rosie to be characterized? I feel like the way it was written was like angry lesbian. That's how it came off in the track. And I felt like that's how Vanjie did it. So what do they want from her? I was kind of mad that she was in the bottom, if I'm being honest. Maybe they just wanted to put her in the bottom to tell her to stop wearing this silhouette. I don't know, Allie. What do you think?
I mean, to me, nothing about it was rosy. I kind of guess I agree with you, Brent. Like, I don't know what she could have done to be more rosy. I don't know if they wanted her, like, in a fat suit or something, like, adding weight. Like, I don't know. I loved it. They called her lesbian fly girl. Like, that to me was more what she was giving. That was hilarious. As far as the look, I agree. Liana, my exact reaction was just like, it's not red, but it's close to red, and it's the same freaking look. The one thing I will criticize Vanjie for, like, yes, it looks expensive. It fits. It's well made. But it reminds me of her Libra look where like she can't quite wear the headpiece. Like I want it to, if it's expensive and it's heavy, act like it's light as a feather. No pun intended. Like,
no.
I don't want to see the pain of your drag. Like her neck was crouched when she turned around and walks back. She's sort of like her neck is heavy. It was the same kind of thing with the Libra headpiece where like, to me, don't put on the headpiece if you can't walk around in it and make it seem like effortless.
Yeah, I guess I can see that. And she definitely did struggle like with the Libra look. I can't exactly remember if she looked in pain here, but she definitely did take it off as soon as she got backstage. So, yeah. But I guess I honestly didn't even know that she was Rosie O'Donnell or could recognize the fact that she was Rosie O'Donnell. Yeah. So maybe that's why they were clocking her for that. But I also thought that, not to get a little too ahead, but I was also like, Suga is not doing Hillary Clinton. I don't know who she's doing an impression of, but it's not Hillary Clinton. So, maybe she was safe because at least she tried to do an impression, whereas Vanjie was just kind of Vanjie. So, I don't know, but I think that could be part of it.
All right. Somebody else who was in the bottom was Raja O'Hara. Obviously wasn't giving me any of Omarosa whatsoever. I did love the fact that Ross clocked her for saying, hey, like during the lip sync, like, hey, you can come on Big Brother, Celebrity Big Brother. That was my contribution to the lip sync. It felt like I was like 6 degrees separation from that, having watched Ross on Celebrity Big Brother with Omarosa. But I agree with the judges. I didn't get any Omarosa whatsoever. It was so funny because Raja was like, I'm like Omarosa. Like, she's thought of as a bitch. I'm thought of as a bitch. But you walk into a room and I walk into a room and I own the room. And I'm like, bitch, you didn't own the room. No, you didn't own. You look, I was very taken with RuPaul's comment about Donna Summer. Like, yes, that's exactly what I got from this. This was not Omarosa whatsoever. The runway, it was pretty fun, serviceable. I felt like maybe it didn't really fit around the hip area. But on the other hand, I feel like that is sort of the way it's made. Like, it's sort of meant to jut out. But I don't know that you want to have hips that jut out like that. And
you don't.
Yeah. OK. So I'm feeling right then, Allie. It's a boot.
Yeah, I was on the fence. When I first saw it, I was sort of like, ooh, this is a boot. I mean, before I knew, I was thinking of it like that. But I was like, I don't love this. And then the judges were like kind of gagged over it. And I was like, oh, maybe I'm looking at this wrong. But looking at this again, I'm booting it.
Yeah,
I didn't think it was terrible. Like, I didn't think it like made her in the bottom, but it definitely didn't save her. And I totally agree about the Omarosa. Like, to me, that's the one of the most recognizable characters, especially to a reality television audience. Like, it's so easy to just look pissed. Like, you get fired in the scene, so look pissed and hair flippy and bitchy.
She looked
like
sad. She looked sad that she got fired.
In a way, it's like written into the script because that's when Oprah comes.
Yeah.
But you don't need to follow the script. Like, still look pissed. Like, still do the character. Like, they don't care about the writing. Like, just do the character.
Yeah, I mean, she was definitely not doing Omarosa. Like, I think we can all agree on that. In terms of her runway look, the chap things were giving me very much Monet Exchange and the denim and diamonds look. or yeah, where they like just didn't fit. I mean, at least these fit a little bit better than that. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, it was just a bodysuit with, you know, a weird like leafy shouldery thing. So I don't really get the gag. And Kitty Girl wig, Axel, if yep. we're talking Monet Exchange.
You got it. Kitty Girl wig. Mm-hmm. Somebody else who didn't fare so well was Mercedes Amon Diamond. Wow. I can't say enough. But I'm trying to be nice to Mercedes, but like this was so boring. Like you're really on the main stage of RuPaul's Drag Race in a swimsuit. You're this looks like Miss USA and she's there in a swimsuit. And by the way, it doesn't look to me like she's cinched or if she is cinched, then she used like tape and it's not a corset or she looks really paunchy. Like what, Liana, what is going on here? This looks terrible.
Yeah, I see what you mean about the silhouette.
It looks like a man. But,
like, it doesn't look quite smooth. Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's not...
Well, she's not it trans, so I can call her that. I mean, like, it looked... I do not feel like she... Look, here's the thing. She is a man, and she's trying to make us think that she is... It's the art of drag. It's the illusion. There's no illusion here. It looks like man body.
Well, I think it's the proportionizing.
Okay.
Right?
All right.
So,
all right, Eureka.
As a woman also, I'm going to try to proportionize my body with my like stick waist that doesn't go in at all. So this is an example of that where she's not really creating the correct proportionizing that she needs to do. And yeah, it is just really simple. Like wearing an orange Muppet on your head, I don't think really makes you stand out from the crowd. Although I will say, my God, her makeup, she is beat for the gods. Like she looks absolutely gorgeous. Gorgeous. But the outfit is nothing to write home about.
Yes. I had just gotten a message from somebody who I'd asked a question from. My friend, you can talk, Allie, if you want to talk, you had something to say. But my friend Matty Rance on YouTube, he had said on his update that when Mercedes Amon Diamond came out, that all he could see was like DuckTales, woohoo, and like he I was like, I don't understand what you mean. Like, I think I understand what you mean, and like, what are you talking about? And then he clarified in a message to me. He's like, you know, this is Maddie talking. He sent me a message. He goes, okay, so you know how in drag when they wear bathing suits or leotards, they normally wear some sort of waist trainer, cincher, or hell, even duct tape themselves in, right? Okay, so, and it bothered me because once she turned around, that's all I could see. When she turns, there is like all this clear duct tape underneath the suit, then you don't even notice, but like we were saying that her stomach was pushed out more than her butt. So yeah, I have to think that my initial impression was right, that it's all about the fact that she's paunchy and man body, and it just didn't look well. It didn't sell. It was boring. Like, if you're gonna give me a swimsuit, you better look freaking spectacular on the main stage of RuPaul's Drag Race. Her lip sync as Ivanka, she missed some lines, and she didn't even have that many lines. I didn't really have necessarily a problem with her characterization because I knew that she didn't know what the hell she was doing, and so I was like, well, let's just see what she can do. Maybe at least if she can be entertaining, she can give me something. But no, and then she didn't even know her lines when it came time to talk, Allie. So come on, what's going on?
Brutal. Yeah, no, I want to cinch the look, but like take, as in like keep the top and the shoes and just take the whole middle out, because mm-hmm. I actually liked the headpiece, although it wasn't on right. Like you could see the gap between her wig and the headpiece, and then yep. later you see the headpiece just fall off.
Yep.
The makeup, I totally agree, gorgeous. I even like the shoe for the challenge. But yeah, the middle was doing absolutely nothing. Nothing was happening for me there. I think I already mentioned her. I agree, in the challenge, she was missing words. She was missing words even in the last lip sync she did for her life here.
I thought I did notice that as well. Yeah, that's too bad.
And she wasn't even wearing the right wig, although sometimes, like, I know they give them the wigs based on the characters they're assigned, but, like, just I've never seen Ivanka in anything besides just, like, long, straight blonde hair. Like, what was that, like, wig she was wearing? Like, the schoolgirl wig.
And the outfit, even that, too.
Even that would have changed it. Like, even just something... Even like a fashion-y kind of suit, like even if it was like a pink suit, something just like more Ivanka, more tailored, and just a straight bitchy haircut would have been perfect. Even if she missed the words, I think she could have been safe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know.
Not
about
her
that.
Specifically. Her time. No, but I'm saying her time was coming.
Yes.
But I just think like all that was expected of that to be sort of like safe was like nail the look at least.
Yeah, I agree. I take your point on that. All right, let's talk about some positive stuff. Somebody who was pretty freaking awesome this week was Brooklyn Heights. She came out in a Neo Matrix-y, into the future look, that I was actually particularly here for, although there are some people, Ali, who are calling it, Detox 2.0. But I think that's a little unfair to her. I mean, I'm not even sure Detox could really pull off a look. Oh, I take that back. I know she could pull this off, but I like the fact that Brooklyn is thicker and thus looks more womanly on the stage. She looks like a real woman. You know what I mean? Maybe my point is being lost.
Is it? I just have a question. Is it her skin, or does she have like a leotard underneath, or is it just on the bottom?
Yeah, there has to be a leotard
on the bottom or on the top too. I can't tell.
I have to think it's all over.
At least to her waist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but even around the waist area, you can see it looks a little silvery. And I know she's pretty pale, but she ain't silver, so. I have to think that this is some sort of complete bodysuit that she's wearing underneath.
Actually, you could see like her abs in the picture if you zoom in. So it kind of maybe looks like it is just to like a high waist where the silver kind of stops. But either way, I mean, I think she looks flawless. Does she look a little bit like Detox? Sure. I think, is she giving anything else that's like a copy of Detox? No. Like, I think to me, this is... I like it in the same way that I like Detox. Like, it's edgy, it's cool, it's now, it's, she looks fishy as hell. It's like the future of fish. Yes. Like, I just think she looked amazing, and I didn't care that she looks a little bit like Detox, especially in the face even. She looks a little bit like Detox, but who cares? We've seen a million queens that look the same. Like, that's not my concern.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, she did play Ivana Trump in the challenge. I thought she did amazing as Ivana Trump. I mean, the instant she comes out, I knew who she was. Her characterization was right. Her eyes were nice and open. Her expressions were funny. I thought that there was a chance that she could win if two other people weren't really freaking awesome. So I have to believe you guys are with me on the Ivana impression. I thought it was pretty cool.
She even had the facial expressions down even without the makeup, like when she was just talking about doing the character. So like, I knew she was going to do a great job. And I think what I appreciate about this outfit is the fact that it's made out of, I can't even tell what the material is, but it's something unique. And then with the big old plastic coat, like, it's cool. It's chic. I'm here for it.
I'm here for it as well. So I have something to say. Last week I told Liana, you and Rockstar, that two people who I felt like were out of the running for the title of RuPaul's Drag Race season 11 winner were obviously Mercedes, because I didn't feel like she was going to go anywhere, and I also felt like Plastic Tiara, because she didn't understand pop culture, and Ru really requires that of her queens to at least have a working basis of our history of pop culture in the gay community. So I said that. This week I have another premonition. I think that the title of season 11 winner is down to two queens. And they happen to be our top two of the week. And I'm not just somebody who is like here for it now. Like, it's not me like, oh, well, you know, I'll feel this way this week, and then next week when they suck and something predictable or whatever, that I'll get off the bandwagon. No, I think that Rue is really here. Let's start with Evie Oddly. Let me click on her really quickly. I really loved this look. I thought it was interesting. When we talk about outside the box, that gets overused a little bit, but I did think that the headpiece was really, really great. Somebody said, maybe it was even in the episode, that it felt a little bit more clown to me, but I didn't get that whatsoever. And the things that they were saying about Evie Oddly, like, I felt like this was season 4 all over again, where Sharon Needles is doing a specific kind of drag. It looks a little trashy. It looks a little low budget. Other queens who are a little more polished, who maybe have more experience or more money even, or more followers, they are poo-pooing it. And in fact, they are jealous of it. I think that they are all jealous of Evie Oddly right now. I thought she was really spectacular during the runway, but she was, oh my God, amazing during the lip sync. I couldn't take my eyes off her. As I said, even when she wasn't in a speaking part, when she wasn't lip syncing, it was all I could do except look at her. I thought she was so freaking cool, and I felt like I've seen this movie before. Whoever wants to talk, Ali, let's go with you. What do you think about Evie Oddly? Because coming into the season, she wasn't somebody who I was really looking at as a possible winner, and now I feel like, based on what I've heard, and I'll elaborate on that more in a second, that I feel like that she is somebody who RuPaul is seriously looking at crowning.
Yeah, I think that is a really smart take to have at this stage, especially when you hear like the judges panel. I forget if it was Rue or Ross. Maybe it was Rue who said nobody's.
Yes, I have that. Oh, I was going to say, here we go. So this is Ross and then RuPaul talking a little bit about Evie Oddly. And this was really, really telling to me.
Evie is like a big, bold flavor, you know, and it doesn't go with everything. But when it works, oh, my God, it works.
I think it's really refreshing because no one else is doing what Evie Oddly is doing.
Exactly. No one else is doing what Evie Oddly is doing, and the other judges nodding in approval, Allie. This is what cinched it for me. I was like, oh, my God, Rue loves her. Loves her.
And I think it's deserved. Like,
yes, I agree.
Like, her past three looks, including this week, I mean, I think she got off on the wrong foot week one. But then week two, week three, week four, I thought all of those looks were, like, iconic, memorable looks that we'll look back on this season and they'll stand out. I mean, the jellyfish look, that was incredible.
Oh,
this, like, orange circus. Like, I don't even get it. Like, why is it orange, like, an orange fruit? And then why is it the circus? But it's cool and it's weird. And she's, like, authentically herself and doing weird things, and it looks amazing. And I was really impressed with her choreography this week, in addition to her characterization of Kellyanne Conway. I think she embraces the stuff that like make her like a freak, as we all should. And I loved it. And I would be very happy with an Evie Oddly win.
Yeah, Liana, I have to say, it's not just the fact that she's killing it on the runways or in the challenges. She's a smart fucking queen. She knows how to articulate and like tell everybody her vision of what she thinks is right and wrong. She has a moral center to her that I think that the show and RuPaul really value.
Well, and I mean, she's unique, and I think that that's making her stand out. I mean, you can even just look at this outfit and say, oh, it's theme orange, and she put an orange on her head. But like, that's someone, it sounds like it's so obvious, but that's something that no one else thought about.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
it's not obvious.
And I do see the clown makeup, though, so I just won't say that. But
yeah, it's a little
so
Bianca
different.
Del Rio, yeah.
But didn't she say she was being... I thought she mentioned...
That was on purpose, yeah, because then it was like the big top was her skirt, sort of looks like a circus tent. So, yeah, no, I mean, I was totally here for it, and I thought it was fine. Mm-hmm. I think, really, it's just the fact that she's somebody who stands out and is so confident in herself. Like, she just knows that the weird stuff that she's doing is right, and that she is going to walk down the runway as a jellyfish or a circus clown orange, or, you know, is a robotic lion and own that.
She has a concept every time she's committed to. Oh, and not only that, but like something as simple as the tights. Like, that is one thing that other queens, they would have just put some white tights on with this outfit, and it would have looked different. But she goes the whole nine yards and commits to it. And really, that even adds to the look even more. It, like, again, I'm with Liana. I don't understand the concept necessarily. I don't understand why there's an orange on her head and it's a circus theme, apparently. But it is whimsical and fun and creamy and popsicle and everything. That it looks mouthwatering looking at her. And her performance in the challenge was really, really freaking cool. By the way, I have a theory of the case, because I think she actually did the best this week. I think that Rue wanted to crown her this week. Maybe you guys disagree, but I think that Rue knows that there's a Halloween challenge coming up next week, and that Evie, as looking as a corpse as she is sometimes, as the queens would say, that she's going to kill that one. So Rue can't crown her three times in five episodes. So she had to save a little bit for somebody else. And I couldn't tell if you were agreeing or disagreeing with me, Allie.
I agree that she did the best this week. I think she got robbed. I think she should have been the winner like far and away.
Far
like
and
I
away.
Think Silky did well. I think Brooklyn did well, but I think Evie was the clear winner. My only, I do wonder, I still don't know that I understand if Rue cares about crowning the same queen too many times, because like how many times did Bendela win in a row? You know, like I feel like there are queens that win a lot early on, and Rue like is willing
was
to crown them.
Top two though, I feel like I feel like that's a little different when it's like, because they kind of their wins is, you know, if you're in the top two, that's like what win. With to me, that wasn't really a win. Like you had to win the lip sync to get a win. Like there's only one winner every week, so that's why I felt like All Star rules are a little funky. Like the only other time I can remember like a queen winning twice within like the first four episodes was Sharon Needles. Oh my God, it's Sharon Needles. who I think she won the first episode, and then she won like the third episode because she was Yeah, because then she was in the bottom three in the fourth episode. Yeah, so she won the first episode, won the third episode, and was immune during the second episode. That was back in the days when RuPaul gave immunity to people for winning a challenge, which she doesn't do anymore, which I think is kind of cool. So anyway, I think, well, Liliana, are you in agreement with us that not only are we tooting this look, but we think that Evie was robbed of a win here?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Okay. I thought that Silky was fun, but I think it's in the same vein as, like I said, the Black China, where it just like comes in and it breaks up everything. And so you sort of feel, but then when you go back and rewatch, you're like, oh no, Alexis Michelle, Evie Oddly really did deserve to win. So I'll just say that.
Yeah, and part of the reason why I feel this way is that Silky Ganache, although she was great as Oprah Winfrey, and let's talk about her, I felt like the runway was a little boring. It was just like, I felt like she's worn this gown before at a pageant somewhere, and that is the reason why I wasn't here for it. It was just, let me put on a dress that I've worn before, and it happens to be in the color spectrum of orange, although it's looking a little pale orange to me. It's definitely orange, but not as orange as the other queens. And it was cinched and silhouetted well. Everything looked great. She looked as an absolute goddess on the runway. And as somebody who is a fan of Silky, I know that Mike Bloom has been off the Silky train. Liana, you said at the time that you were off the Silky train. I am still on the Silky train. And I think that she also is the only other person who can win. I do not think that Brooklyn Heights can win for a variety of reasons. But the number one thing to me is that Silky is so freaking great. She's smart. She's funny. She makes RuPaul laugh. That little line she had at the beginning when RuPaul was talking about there's a leak and she said, is Soju coming back? Like, that's just something somebody else wouldn't think of. And she said it and made RuPaul laugh. She also comes off as really smart to RuPaul. Not that she is like the smartest person ever, but she like carries herself with respect. And I feel like that, plus her personality, is enough to challenge Evie for the crown here. Her performance as Oprah Winfrey, I mean, oh my God. When she came out, it was like Oprah Winfrey post-OptiFast. Now, I know that I'm aging myself here, but like, there was a moment in time where Oprah did a diet. And she did a thing called OptiFast. And she came out in a fat suit. And she had been off all summer, okay? She was losing weight. And then she took the fat suit off, and she was in these, like, hot jeans. And she was talking all about OptiFast, and she brought out all of the fat that she had lost in a wagon. And, like, but then 6 months later, she gained all the weight back. And that's what Silky Nami Ganache looked like when she was serving us Big Goddess Realness on the runway, alley. So I was here for this. And like, her impression of Oprah was just spot on. It was amazing.
Yeah, I think Silky, and maybe after hearing Liana, like, and you talk about this, I'm more convinced that maybe this was a closer race than I thought it was. I've been on the Silky train. I've not gotten off. I'm not looking for the exit. I'm not pulling the cord. All right. I'm on the Silky train. I think it's really refreshing, and I think this kind of rubs some people the wrong way, but I think it's refreshing. You know, usually reality show villains, or we hear a lot of like critique from other contestants, like, oh, she's just trying to get airtime, or like, oh, she wants her own show, or she's using this platform. I like that Silky's like, yes, I want my own show. I want everything. Mm-hmm. I'm famous. I'm going to hug Miley Cyrus till her head pops off and it's inappropriate. I'm going to suck up to all the judges. I'm going to suck up to Rue. Like, she's transparent and I'm here for that. That's refreshing to me. I loved this gown. I love the Latrice read that Liana laid out a little while ago on the podcast, but it was a little Latrice, but this is the first look that I think we've seen from Silky that I have genuinely liked and been wowed by. I've not liked her runway looks. I've like, in fact, hated a couple of her runway looks. And then the look she wore last week, I'd seen in a YouTube video when I was like looking at the queens. So she's like peddled that around town.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
This to me made her look, like, gave her a great silhouette. I loved how slow she was walking, and she did
not
care.
Take your time, girl. Take your time.
I loved that. It was fun. It was funny. She looked gorgeous. I was here for this.
Oh my gosh. I forgot about the slow runway.
Yes.
The slow speed chase with OJ.
She come was like, through, Bronco.
Take all of me in. I'm like, girl, I'm going to need a minute. Just give me a minute. Like, she gave me a minute, too, on the runway. She was walking. That was a fat joke, by the way. Sorry, don't come for me if you don't want. I'm sorry. That was terrible. But I am so here for Silky Nutmeg Ganache. I love her to death. I think she can win RuPaul's Drag Race. I know there are people who are bothered by her, but I'm not bothered by her. I'm with Allie in terms of, like, I'm glad that she's transparent about everything that she's doing. And she tickles me. I just feel like she's a little ornery, and I identify with that. Like, she likes to push people's buttons and get into a little fight there and there. Even on Twitter, she's doing that. And I do kind of understand where she's coming from. So I also feel like she's, like, in the back of her mind, she's always thinking. She's always got a plan. So we get the winner. This Silky Nutmeg Ganache is the winner of this challenge, much to our chagrin, because we felt like Evie Oddly should have won it. But she's a worthy runner-up, and it was maybe closer than I too, was initially thinking about. Evie and Brooklyn are called safe, and somebody who was also called safe was Vanessa, although she was practicing that lip sync back there. We'll get to her and Miss Brooklyn in a moment, but we got Raja O'Hara and Mercedes Amon Diamond in the bottom two, and somebody who let me find this comment. I'm trying to give them credit for it. Oh my God, Brent, come on, be prepared, Brent. Here we go. This is a comment from one of the YouTube videos from Dat Video Doe. She says, the audacity to send Mercedes, the first Muslim queen, home on the Trump challenge after lip syncing to Living in America was too much. Was team too much, Allie?
Yeah, it was bad, but it was also time for her to go. Yes, so, like, yes. It's just an unfortunate shrug moment.
Yeah, exactly. Leona, I'm with, we talked about this earlier, Leona, but I'm with you in that I thought for sure, and by the way, I'm also with you in terms of, like, her acting like James Brown. Like, Raja was giving us, like, strong vibes. Like, she was dancing like a man up there on the runway, like, whoo, whoo, whoo. Like, I feel like it was like Cobra Kai season 2. She was giving us strength up there. But then she leans back and she's got that little kitty girl wig on, girl. How in the hell? Like, that's not even a heavy wig. How the fuck did that thing come off? How did that come off? You didn't even pin it down. You got braids up in there. How did you not pin it down? You're not like Evie, who you don't have no hair. You got hair to pin it down.
It was so funny, too, because she just, like, barely leans back and it goes plop. Just, like, slowly falls off the back of her head. I laughed so hard. And then the cut to Rue's face of, yes, just like, oh my God, oh no, can I crown her still, or, like, have her stay when the wig just plops,
uh-huh,
off?
Yeah.
It was too funny.
I think if this had been anybody else, I think there's a chance that Raja would have gone home for that, because I mean, Rue was, like, with us at this point. She absolutely cannot stand that when a wig falls off. That's just like Drag Queen 101, Allie. Like, what the
yeah.
F?
Ugh. Yeah, I mean, she was so clearly the winner of this, though, I that I think it was just sort of like and it was like almost like deserving of a scolding, where, like, don't let a wig come off without there being something underneath it. But yeah, definitely strike two for Miss Raja.
Yeah, and I agree with you that she was the winner. But on the other hand, there's a part of me that's like, okay, Mercedes was at least, and I wanted her gone, by the way. Unless, like, defending her for the few people out there who maybe thought she won the lip sync. She was at least giving us, like, femme fun girl drag, and Raja was up there as her boy self, like, giving us, like, Karate Kid. So I did feel like there was, and her wig fell off. Like, I felt like there was, like, if there was a way that RuPaul wanted to keep one of them and it was Mercedes, I felt like this was the time. On the other hand, I kind of agree with Leona. Actually, I totally agree with Leona once again, because I was like, can we just double boot them both? Because I was not here for Mercedes and what she was featuring today, but I was also not here for Raja and her wig falling off and the way she did those dance moves. I would have, because neither one of them is going to win RuPaul's Drag Race. So let's just get rid of some of the fat here. But no, we only get rid of Mercedes. Raja lives to fight another day. RuPaul says, girl, bye. We get a little bit of a preview of next week. Let's give a little shout out to Mercedes Amon Diamond before we talk about that. First Muslim queen on RuPaul's Drag Race. I don't know if she was just a little too green for this season. Maybe she needed a little bit more time, but she's so introverted, Leona, that I understood why they cast her, but my God, I felt like she was miscast. But on the other hand, she was cast, so what the fuck do I know? So, you know.
I mean, it's interesting because she does come across as introverted on the show, but yet she also told the same story about how she was driving around to, you know, all the shows, and she's obviously out there and performing. Like, I would love to go to one of her shows to maybe see her in her own element.
In her element, yeah.
The confidence maybe just didn't translate, and I'm sure that can be so, when you are in a room with Silky Ganache and, you know, Evie, like, they're so strong in their personalities, and if you can't match that, I'm sure that that's intimidating. So I honestly could potentially see her back on a future season, maybe in more of a Cynthia Lee Fontaine Vanjie. The fact though is that, you know, I don't think she really wowed Rue, so that might not happen, but I'm happy that she was on this season.
Yeah, I don't see her coming back. I think it's, there are just some queens where I'm sure she's a great entertainer. I'm sure she's a successful drag queen. I just don't think, there are some queens that I just don't think are suited for Drag Race. And like, I just think
I agree.
The last few challenges just have not, like, acting is not her strength. Like the characterization, like no pop culture, she doesn't know it. Like, and those have been like the last three challenges.
She's got a goat. She's got a goat, Allie.
So I just don't think that this is like the best, showing for her or the best like venue for her talents.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Well, let's talk a little bit about Untucked. So long to Mercedes, but we do get to see a little bit of her in Untucked. But first, we get to see a little bit of the Safe Queens. We won't talk too much about this, but I just wanted to talk about the fact, two things. Number one, they were really going in on Evie. Scarlett is not here for what Evie is serving, and she doesn't like criticism, so Akiria tells us. And I have to agree, I feel like Scarlett is a little bit touchy when it comes to criticism. The other thing is that Brooklyn and Vanjie, we got final confirmation from them, but we did hear a little bit from Brooklyn in confessional, like, I was waiting for this question. So obviously she knew it was going to be asked. They are having a little kai-kai behind the scenes. And, like, they're in the wild right now, Liana. So they have to get some where they can get some. I think that's where they're coming from.
I ship it. I would be very much here for this. Yeah, I don't know if I haven't seen anything on social media about the two of them. But I would be very interested to know the status of that relationship, if it even is a relationship.
Yeah. By the way, also in this Untucked, Evie says about Ariel that her drag is boring and that if all of your looks are the same, you're going to be red. I feel like Evie was speaking for the entire audience, Allie, where she was like, you know, I'm noticing that your looks are all the same and that your hairs are all the same. As Liana says, there's one in every color. I feel like her time, you called it right at the beginning, that her time in the bottom is coming if she doesn't change course fast. But on the other hand, like, she's brought with her what she's brought with her. I don't know that she necessarily can change course at this point. So I do feel like we're probably going to get more of the same kind of Bratz dolls, big hair, swooped back kind of silhouettes from Ariel.
Yeah, I think I don't think it's going to change. I also think she definitely has like a self-confidence issue. And I think that's going to prevent her from sort of like being flexible in the look. Like, I think she's sort of like comfortable in what she does. And that's what we're going to see.
Excellent. All right. So any other thoughts that you guys have? Allie, we only hear from you like once a season. So do you have anything else you want to say about this season? Are you in agreement with me that there are only two queens who are in contention for the title? Or do you feel like that RuPaul could conceivably crown somebody else at this point?
It's early. Okay. It's early. I don't know. I always hesitate to sort of be like, look, I think you've identified two of the front runners. I don't know that I think Brooklyn can't win. I don't know that I think Vanjie can't win. I think there's still time for someone to emerge, but I think, you know, catch me in a week or two and maybe I'd be more willing to say it. I mean, I hesitate to make a strong argument for anyone else over those two right now, but things can change. There's a lot of runway left to walk.
Yeah, that's true. Liana, I'm not sure if you share my... I can see... Here's the thing. I can see the path for Brooklyn in another season, but when you have two amazing queens of color, like, I almost called her Sugar Cane, Silky. I was thinking about Sugar, and I was thinking about Silky, so that's how I got onto that. Silky Namek Ganache, Evie Oddly, and they are the two most amazing queens of the season. Like, to me, they're the two most amazing queens of the season, and they're two queens of color, and one of them is a big girl, and we've never had a big girl crowned before. So that's kind of where I'm coming from, that Brooklyn, like, maybe has a chance, but I really don't feel like in this season that Rue would probably take that chance to crown her. And I also feel like whichever one of Evie or Silky doesn't win is going to be right back on All Stars 5, and Rue is going to go the Chad Michaels way of saying, well, now I'm going to give you $100,000. Congratulations, you're in the Hall of Fame. So...
Yeah, well, I think I even said something similar at some point because I, okay. I definitely I'm have that similar I feeling. I said it last week, bitch, get with the times. Yeah, I definitely see, Evie and Silky, I think, are definitely the two front runners. I think that you could see some other queens that could make the final four, but it's similar, I think, with Cameron Michaels, where it's like Cameron Michaels is an entertainer, and yeah, she made the final three of season 10, but just RuPaul doesn't, she just didn't have that it factor, I think, that RuPaul was really looking for. So similarly, I think with Brooke, at least Brooke is not connecting with RuPaul maybe in that same way. But I think some people are. So I think Brooke may be a distant third. But really, I think Evie and Silky are the two frontrunners.
Okay. Well, if you want to follow any of us on social media, you can follow Liana Boras at Liana Boras. That's LianaBoras. You can also follow Ali Lasher at Lash Tweets. That's LASHTWEETS, Lash Tweets. You can follow me at One Lucky Gay. That's one spelled out, O-N-E. Ali, thank you so much for coming by and talking with us. And we needed somebody to go to co-host this with us. But you were giving me really strong points of view, really great arguments, challenging me. I love it when that happens. Liana does it all the fucking time. Really annoying at times. She does it, but I love it when you do it. So thank you for stopping by. I hope you had a good time.
Oh, it's always so much fun to talk to you guys. Thank you for having me on.
All right. And Liana, back next week with the host of our show, Mike Bloom. He's coming back. We gotta get our shit together.
No. What are we going to do? Fine.
All right. Well, like I said, follow us on social media if you haven't already. And we will see you next week when Mike is back for the, I think, Halloween or Monster Ball episode of RuPaul's Drag Race. I can't wait to see what Evie Oddly pulls out of the bag. I have high hopes and high expectations for her and for all of us. We will see you next week. But for now, you may sashay away. Bye!
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.